If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Row.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Row.
It's time for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. Series is brought to us by the members of the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro, inviting you to join the local business leader community to get connected, stay informed, and drive progress. Visit carolinachamber.org to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership today. I'm joined in the studio by Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as it is Friday and our usual time to talk Carrboro. Mayor Lavelle, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Brighton, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad that it's the end of the week. I'm glad that we've got some sunshine out there. And man, we have plenty of things to talk about. It seems like our community is really hopping as the summer months are kind of getting underway.
You know, days like this, when it's supposed to rain, but it kind of doesn't, and then it kind of does, and then you don't know what to do. That makes me think about, for example, the Freight Train Blues series. Okay, maybe it's good it's online tonight, right? Because we'd all be wondering if it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's wrapping up tonight, too, which is a shame, but should be a great performance as well. Been fun to tune into those kind of throughout the month as Carrboro's been doing them separate and over the virtual setting this year.
One of the things I did this year was paid a little more attention to who all the artists were, more than I have in the past. And I noticed for tonight, it's Harvey Dalton Arnold. And he is a blues performer, but he started out actually as a Southern rock artist. And so and he actually, toured with the Outlaws and fronted for Lynyrd Skynyrd and some other groups like that. But he's evolved into this blues arena. He said when he was a young kid, he heard a lot of blues. And so anyway, it sounds like that would be a really good concert to kind of close out the series.
Absolutely. It's just a great time for live music in general. I mean, when is it not? But certainly as summer's picking up, it's a great time to tune into stuff like that. We've got our own live music series coming up. And I know there's already planning underway for the Carrboro Music Festival as well, happening in the fall, as some local artists are beginning to sign up for that.
Yeah, it's really exciting, I think, to kind of look ahead to being able to be out and listen to music and be among people safely, you know, and looking forward to your series you're going to have here. And yeah, I mean, the Carrboro Music Festival, so happy we're going to be able to have it this year. I always tell people it's the best day of the year in Carrboro.
There's actually some discourse I've seen going on, kind of a lot of social media chatter about that today, as I think some musicians were realizing either for the first time or kind of putting the word out there that this is a festival that doesn't pay its musicians, but there's a lot of musicians that participate in it. I don't know if you've seen any of this. You and I haven't chatted about this before, but first year coming back after kind of a year off, maybe people are realizing this for the first time.
No, you know, we've gotten that feedback some of the years. You know, we have about 160, 170 acts, you know, and I'm sure that conversation will continue around that, you know, around how to support those artists that are able to perform at all those venues around town.
It's a great event. Very much looking forward to that and all these others that you mentioned, too. We've got some more that we want to cover, but I do want to take a quick second. There was a town council meeting this week. I believe the meeting was relatively short since you guys went into a closed session at the end. But the main highlight was a public hearing on Carrboro's budget. How did everything go?
Yeah, that was the main part of the evening, and we heard from, again, a few nonprofits in town that are either hurting and or, you know, lobbying us to kind of, you know, consider allocating more than what we just do with our human services recommendations that we do each year, mainly kind of talking to us about these other monies we're getting through the ARPA funds. And so we have to consider, you know, those kind of allocations in tandem with everything else. And so it was good to hear from some of those nonprofits. We also heard from several folks who live over in what is known now as the Barred Owl neighborhood. It was formerly the Plantation Acres neighborhood. And they continue to be very concerned, as we are, about stormwater and infrastructure. And, you know, talked with them a little bit about, you know, how we have our stormwater utility enterprise fund that has about $950,000 in it. But talked with them a little bit about how we're working on allocating that, and they are really organizing and wanting to understand that more, because they're of course urging us to try to have that be a higher priority than it is, and or have action sooner than it looks like it could be. So hearing from those different groups, some years we don't really hear from many people around the budget, so it's been I think kind of a good thing to have people engaged and chatting with us. And maybe that's one of the functions of having the online meeting. It's a little easier to chat with you from your own house.
Always interesting at the moment, we are in an interesting period to see kind of how those elements might carry over as we begin to return to life like normal. I imagine some things are going to stay online so it can offer to people in that way. It'll be interesting to see what carries over.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking, with Councilmember Agist about this. And our town council meetings are a little different because we take official votes and you kind of have to be there. And unless they change some statutes, at some point we'll go back in person and you have to be there. But certainly for a lot of these other things, we have task forces, advisory committees, commissions, where we want citizens to, participate. And sometimes transportation or childcare is a barrier that might make it easier for those folks to do that. Additionally, we might conduct, again, we have to make sure it's under the bounds of the law. We might be able to accept public comment in a different way, and even at our meetings. So, I think that might be an outcome we see after all this.
Kind of along those lines, this public hearing was one of the options for people to, get their word in about the budget. I imagine that they can still reach out to town staff as well. But what is the next step in the budget process for Carrboro?
Yeah. What happened on Tuesday was our manager, he had presented it the week before. And so we gave a lot of feedback to the manager, different things we wanted, like a little more of an increase for employees, for example, in pay was one of the recommendations we gave. And there were some others, some questions we had, that some answers we got from him, some reallocation of some monies. So he responded to our comments with what we got on Tuesday night. And so we're almost at the very end here. We're about ready to pass it. So it's kind of almost in its final stages. I know this Tuesday we review our human services recommendations, which are always a part of that budget. But then the following Tuesday, which will be Tuesday, June 22nd, I believe. Yes, that's the night that we will actually pass the budget. And so don't really have another public hearing on it. But again, if people see something in there that they want to call attention to us, we're in the eighth inning. So get out to us.
Well, townofcarrboro.org, the place to go in order to watch back that meeting for the Carrboro Town Council this past Tuesday night and check out materials from that meeting as well. We are speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. And Lydia, you mentioned needing to meet in person. Part of the reason why our local government has been able to continue to meet virtually is the state of emergency in place for Orange County. We just learned today that Governor Cooper is extending the state's state of emergency through July 30th. I think by that point, I would imagine that the Orange County leaders are also probably going to be looking at their state of emergency expiring too. But some of the other news that we got from the state government this week, or just yesterday, is financial incentives for the COVID-19 vaccine. And I know that our Orange County community, certainly Carrboro, has done a pretty good job in terms of our COVID-19 vaccination rates. But I'm curious to your thoughts as you hear this news, as North Carolina's vaccination rates are kind of slowing. Now we get this announcement about financial incentives.
Yeah, I think, it sounds like, to me, it sounds like a really good idea. My home state of Ohio, has done this and done it very successfully. The percentage really jumped up quite a bit when this type of an incentive was offered. What I like about it is, several different opportunities to win $1 million. But it does include everyone, even those who have already been vaccinated. Now, those who get vaccinated from the 10th on, their name gets put in twice, but that's okay. This is incentivizing, folks to get out and get it done. The other thing I liked is that it's given opportunity for scholarships for, young people. And that's like really a perfect use of those monies. And I think I read that even getting vaccinated, you will get something. Like there are some smaller things that some people will get that are getting vaccinated. But in any event, I think it's fine. And the other, I think, kind of astounding thing about it is that the legislative, leadership also agreed with this. So this is something that, the House, the Senate, and the governor, all think is worth the expenditure of these monies. And so, Yeah, I would, you know, if I hadn't gotten my vaccine yet, I would. What the heck, right?
Yeah. We're speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and one reason to go get those is there's all kinds of events that are happening throughout our community right now. One that we've been talking about, or that we have talked about in the past, and we've been talking about this week on the air, as well as the Carrboro Connects pop-up events. One actually just getting going right now on Rogers Road, and another one slated to happen tonight. For people who might not have heard about these events yet, Lydia, it's all in order to help Carrboro begin to gather some public information for its first ever comprehensive plan.
Yeah, that's correct, Brighton. And, you know, we've been working actually on the plan since last fall. You know, we have a big task force comprised of lots of members of our community. They've had a couple of big sessions with community members. They meet in smaller sessions and smaller work groups. But it's essentially to hear from everyone about transportation, housing, jobs, that kind of stuff, as we, you know, figure out how to put our values on the ground, essentially, in the town. And as you mentioned, yes, you know, as we speak, there are probably hundreds of people on the road at the pop-up.
And Getting free popsicles.
Right, yeah, free popsicles. Thank you for saying that. And that's actually near my house, so I might stop by that one on my way home and see how it's going. And then if you miss that, as you have said, South Green later on tonight, if you're down there, you know, getting pizza or getting a beer, go by there. And then in the morning, of course, at Farmers Market from 8:30 to 10. So, and then MLK Park, Dr. MLK Park, from 11 to 12:30 on Saturday also. So several opportunities here. And I imagine those will capture some people who maybe intentionally go, but it also might capture some who say, hey, what's this? And then you kind of get to hear from them. So that's the purpose, I think, of a pop-up.
Yeah. And if you're hearing this for the first time, too, you either want to learn more about those pop-up events or the comprehensive plan as well, head to CarrboroConnects.org and also townofcarrboro.org, a good spot to go to for everything happening with the local government. We're speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. And Lydia, we've got to begin to wrap up, but any other upcoming events that you want to highlight for our community?
Yeah, I thought I would, you know, once again remind folks that this is Pride Month, and so several activities going on throughout the month. One in particular tomorrow is actually it's drag queen story time, and it's for kids ages 2 to 7. You don't have to register in advance. You can show up, you know, be distanced and masked and so on. But it's actually at Southern Community Park from 10:30 to 11:30. So that's kind of a cool event that is going on. And then on Monday night, there is a virtual conversation with leaders from Equality NC. And to find out, you know, this is kind of on the more serious side, some of the bad transgender legislation we've seen introduced across the country and, you know, other ways that we can support our community. And if you want information about that or to register, you can look on the Town of Chapel Hill website or on our website to register for that. And then a few more events this month. We can talk about them as we go through the month. But, you know, be sure to mark Thursday, June 24th for that food rodeo and pride dance party at Carrboro Town Commons.
That is going to be a blast. Very much looking forward to that. Once again, townofcarrboro.org, the place to go to for lots more information about what is happening around the town of Carrboro. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as always, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Brighton.